The Gist. My blog production has slowed considerably due to a catastrophic engine failure of my van, long drives to get a rental car, a fire that caused me and the dogs to flee the area, and finally, a lost dog who appeared the next day, safe and sound, about 2 hours away. Phew! I've been itching to get at this study, which I feel is a fundamentally important one. Not just because of what it found, but because of how the findings hang together so well. What we really want are findings that tell a story and make sense with each other. And that's what this study's findings do. The study, out of the Lipkin group, used exercise and pathogen stressors to assess the immune system, the proteome, and metabolome. So many cytokines were elevated at baseline that one analysis said this immune profile, quote, screams baseline immune activation, end quote, with both the innate, early, and adaptive, later, immune pathways activated to the hilt. In other words, widespread inflammation appears to be present. Introducing pathogens to ME/CFS patients' immune cells caused them to become hyperactive compared to healthy controls' blood cells, i.e., they were primed to react. Multiple findings indicated that the energy production systems in ME/CFS had gotten whacked, and in interesting ways. Several findings, citrate, phosphate, indicated that the muscles weren't uploading the resources they needed to engage in exertion. Another finding, GDF15, suggested that the mitochondria in ME/CFS were under high stress. That pattern occurred again with the lipids and fatty acids, which provide a crucial energy source for the mitochondria. The muscles were not pulling fats from the blood in order to provide energy. Plus, the boost in carnitine levels that usually occurs after exercise did not occur in ME/CFS. These findings suggest that people with ME/CFS may be stuck in a, quote, carb-biased, oxidative capacity-limited state, i.e., they demonstrate a metabolic inflexibility that prevents them from switching to the fuels they need to engage in things like exercise. The liver has been highlighted recently, and it was in this study as well. High levels of glucuronic acid prior to exercise suggested high levels of metabolic stress were already present. Continued high levels after exercise suggest that the liver was under so much stress from toxins and free radicals that, instead of focusing on energy production, it prioritized detoxification and antioxidant production. This could indicate a different kind of metabolic inflexibility. The inability to switch from a focus on detoxification to energy production, leaving the body locked into a, quote, detox and defense, end quote, state. Toxicity reared its head again when the elevated ORN, CIT, and ARG, CIT ratios before exercise suggested that nitrogen was being used in the urea cycle for detoxification purposes rather than being used to dilate the blood vessels or contribute to energy production. The urea cycle findings suggested that exercise had triggered arginine depletion, urea cycle stress, ammonia accumulation, and mitochondrial dysfunction in people with ME/CFS. Oxidative stress is always on the table with ME/CFS, and indeed, it's possible that increased levels of oxidative stress found could help explain the kynurenine, see below, also the citrate and fatty acid findings. This study was unusual in that it pinpointed a specific pathway involving copper that seemed under particular stress. A variety of signals indicated that a weakened extracellular matrix and microvascular blood vessels are not just prone to damage, but that the repair mechanisms are not kicking in quickly, resulting in longer recovery times. Indeed, one analysis suggested a scenario of, quote, can't recruit, can't repair, breaks down instead, end quote, is occurring. exercise turns on the complement system, potentially resulting in mast cell activation, connective tissue damage, fatigue, systemic inflammation, and cognitive impairment. The deeper we go into the molecular foundations of ME/CFS, the more we find, and, importantly, the more things map together. If ME/CFS were a fake disease, the deeper that molecular investigations go, the more they should flounder and fall apart. Things should get messier, not clearer, as it became clear that ME/CFS wasn't a real disorder. The opposite is happening. The deeper researchers dig, the more they find, and the cleaner and clearer the connections become. A couple of major themes are present: immune activation on a massive scale, failures on multiple levels to provide the muscles with the necessary energy to exercise, metabolic inflexibility that prevents the body from getting into, quote, exercise mode, end quote, a toxin and free radical laden system that's co-opting resources needed to deal with exertion. An extracellular matrix is under attack, but is unable to defend itself, and a variety of systems are so stressed that they fold when stressors show up. The really remarkable thing is that a coherent argument can be made that, like dominoes falling, virtually every one of the abnormalities cited above can be linked together. At the end of the paper, the authors proposed that innate immune activation in concert with high levels of oxidative and cellular stress was a good place to focus on. Regarding treatments, innate immune system activation metformin, the regulatory cytokine IL-37, and the mTOR inhibitor rapamycin. People with low baseline levels of 12, 13, di-home and post-exercise levels of GDF-15, supplementation with 12, 13 di-home or treatment with GDF-15 neutralizing antibody, gut dysbiosis, prebiotics, inulin, and probiotics, F-prausnitzii, metabolic disruption, tryptophan metabolism, hydroxytryptophan or selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, low carnitine, supplement with carnitine, inflammatory response in women, estrogen supplements.